I'm Ivy.
I'm Rachel, and we are Swords and Sapphics, a podcast all about representation, queer media, women with a capital W, and a little bit of nonsense.
So start sharpening your swords, sip your tea, and join us as we obsess over the wonderful beings that are women.
Hello.
Hello.
That was very British of you.
Hello, old friend.
What are we talking about today?
Well, we did watch Red, White, and Royal Blue the other night. So why not? Let's talk about that. And in our Discord, we now have listener questions. So we have a lot of questions to answer, mostly from Iska.
Yeah.
Your friend. True. But
it's true.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting stuff.
I know.
People have things to ask us now.
Yeah. And we have many people in the Discord.
We do. And everyone's welcome. So if you haven't joined yet, you can find it on our link tree. And we tweet about it a lot as well. So
the more, the merrier.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's growing. I keep adding new channels. And it's a good place for writers to just talk. And you don't have to be a writer. You can just be a reader or a watcher or a gamer. Or anything, really. As long as you're friendly.
Yes.
What have you been reading this week?
I finished Second Killing Eve. And I finished Bitthorn. If I had done.
Let's talk about Bitthorn, because we haven't really talked about it here.
No.
You talk about it. Like, she's not taking my cue.
I'm really tired these days. It was fantastic, what to say. It was about a witch who takes a person from a village every 50 year or city.
Really a man.
Yeah, but this
just
time
a favor.
Yeah, exactly. But this time a girly volunteered, which I get it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was very, very sweet, soft, sad. It was extremely sad. I cried a lot. I loved it.
A lot of like gothic dark vibes as well. And a lot of like twists and turns. So you can't really figure out what exactly is going on until you get to the end of the book, which is exciting and very interesting. But yeah. And it explores a lot of like loneliness and how people react in the face of loneliness. And that felt very lovely and important and like I don't know.
it's strangely is what like perhaps everybody feels, but it's put into words that I didn't have, and it was put so beautifully and like you're like, this is it. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. And put into like a fantastical situation where you're so lonely that you end up attached to this like grumpy, elusive witch who is very hot, but does walk around barefoot. We get a lot of feet descriptions, which aren't dirty feet, man. But apart from that, it's great. It's really great. I would recommend it to anybody,
especially now with autumn coming. It's perfect.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's, and honestly, like, the storytelling and the writing is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, I would put it on par with maybe The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue.
Yeah.
Like, for the writing side of things. Like, it's got really gorgeous writing.
And A Lesson in Vengeance.
Oh, I still haven't read that one.
It's perfect for, again, for autumn now.
I can pick it up soon then.
Mm-hmm. It's also very vibey, very, you really don't know what's going on or if it's fantasy or isn't and who's done what and how and why. It's very good. I'm very sapphic. So
what else have you been reading?
I went back to Fireborn. Furyborn.
I was going to say, last night it was Furyborn.
Yeah, I'm just,
Don't confuse me, woman.
I'm confused myself, man. Fury Born, yes, by Claire Legrand. I don't know how to pronounce her name, but it's very good. I'm still a little like thrown because it's from two POVs and there is 1,000 years in between. So it's, and it's fantasy. Like, I would expect that with sci-fi. So, like, my brain is not, is struggling to brain it.
Yeah.
But it's very good. It's very good. Oops. Yeah. And that's it, really. That's, I don't read these days.
Will you not listen to an audiobook?
Only Killing Eve.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I've read quite a lot recently again. First of all, I finished A Thorn Among Roses, which I didn't think I had last time we recorded. So that's by Hayley Anderton, and I gushed about it last time. It's another Sapphic Beauty and the Beast retelling, but completely different than any retelling that I've read. Like, it had witches. Oh, the other one had witches. Bit of Thorn has witches, but it's different. It's just different. There's a curse.
But it's different.
It's just different. There's a castle, again, also in Bitterthorn, but it's different, all right? Yeah, it was short and sweet, and there was a lot of, like, wholesome romance in it. And it was great from beginning to end.
Beautiful.
I read The Spellbook for the Once Cursed. Authors need to do me a favor and not make their titles so long.
No, don't do it. Make it
it's even worse because I designed the book cover, so I should actually not struggle this much with the title. But yeah, it's by Rebecca Crundon, and it is a short sequel to from The Man and the Crow. And if you like this cozy fantasy thing that's happening right now, this is a Killian Styles, and it's got greenhouses and plants and animals, and it's just like a little cozy follow-on from what happened in the first book. The main character was cursed to be a crow for a long time, so he's kind of dealing with being a person again. I can't find my Goodreads app. Oh, is that? And it's, yeah, there's a little bit of high stakes towards the end and like the opening for another book, but it's really quick and sweet and cozy, and I really liked it.
Beautiful.
I finished Inkstains and Ill-Fated Lies by Kelly Doherty, who kindly gave us an arc of that. Wait, did I already say that last time?
You did, but you didn't finish it, but you were talking about
okay. Yeah, it was all the things I said last time. It was really good. The setting is really unique. The romance is quite a slow burn, so like they don't really kiss until the last few chapters or so. I would have liked a little bit more tension altogether, but it was good fun. It was one of those things where like you know it's really good and you enjoy it when you read it, but you like I didn't feel compelled to ever go back to it, even though I liked it when I was reading it. But I don't know why. That was a me problem. The book was great. And I'm reading, nearly finished with Terms and Conditions by Lauren Asher. Which again, why am I, my life right now is just billionaire romance because I'm writing it for ghostwriting. And I'm reading it in my spare time and I just don't really know who I am. And it's all heterosexual. But it's good. There's some, yeah, it's giving me the feels that I need. It's giving me the feelings. But I'm mostly just excited to get to Cal's story in the next book. I'm excited for my alcoholic babe.
Understandable.
I love trauma.
Yeah. Understandable. Yeah.
So that's me. Oh, I started listening to Hotshot by Claire Lydon in audiobook, which is like a star female football player comes to the UK to join a little town's football league, and then there's a coach, like a lifestyle and I don't know, some kind of coach. I don't know the technical terms. And yeah, it's really good so far because I'm missing Ted Lasso. I needed something to fill the Ted Lasso void in my life, even though I don't give a shit about real life football. Fictional football is great. So yeah. I'm looking forward to how this kind of goes on. I'm not very far into it yet, but it's great so far.
Beautiful.
Yeah. What have you been watching?
A new season of Only Murder in the Building. And my brain is really not braining these days. It's coming out now. The first two episodes are out. It's absolutely brilliant. It's exactly the Atomy vibes that I love. Shocker, Meryl Streep is fucking brilliant. I know, who could have seen it coming? I know I didn't. A new season of What We Do in the Shadows is coming out. Amazing, 10 out of 10, love it. A new season of Harley Quinn is coming out. 10 out of 10, love it. And, oh, there is a trans character now. It's weird when Harley Quinn animated show gives you the most like queer rep I've ever seen in any show ever. What else? Oh, I finally got back to The Witcher. The third season was separated to two parts. So I start watching the second part now.
Yeah, I need to watch it, but I don't know why. Like, I keep holding it off.
Yeah,
I'm playing the game.
Every now and then, I'm like, I have no fucking idea what's going on. The plot is really escaping me. However, the stunts are fucking brilliant. So there was this moment where I literally gasped and started screaming because it was so fucking good. Mm. Honestly, beautiful. What else? I think that's it. I was like, what were we watching together? And then I realized it was the fucking movie that we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Me neither. I do feel like Grey's rewatch will be for me soon.
One of my friends on Twitter, EM Harden, messaged me like, I just want to see how far you get into Grey's. I have no updates for you because I keep stopping.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I still love it when I watch it, but I don't know, there's something missing.
Yeah. In the part that is sort of quiet, but it gets like not better again.
Yeah. I have hope. I'll go back to it when I need it.
Exactly.
I've slowed down. Look, I thought I would have slowed down a lot longer ago because I'm not one for maintaining focus on a huge like TV show. So
I'm shocked I finished it.
Yeah. I am actually. I didn't think, because I started watching it first and like we do tend to go towards different things. Like we love the same books, but when it comes to TV and movies, like it's very rare that we enjoy the same things. Well, I enjoy your things, but you're like, you have a very specific taste. Yeah. So I did think, I was like, oh no, she's gonna hate it. But no, she finished it way before me.
Right, I was watching Station 19 first, and I didn't know it was connected. And then in the first episode, Meredith Grey was there. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I guess it's connected.
Yeah, wow. It's a little bit connected. So now I'm not allowed to watch the sexy firefighters because Ivy's a thing about spoilers.
Honestly, I'm still upset that I sort of like saw it in a different order than I was supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah, but you might not have started Grey's if you didn't start Station first.
We'll never know.
Yeah. It's like the chicken and the egg conundrum.
Precisely. You'll never know. There is a timeline where I started watching Grey's and where I've never heard of either.
Yeah.
And then there is a timeline where I watched Private Practice first and didn't watch Station or Grey's. No.
I don't think that would ever happen.
You never know. You never know is my point. You never do. Yeah, I refuse to watch it. I don't know. It's just not. It's not speaking to me. It's no. LA. I don't need that in my life.
I thought I'd put the wrong show on when the crossover episode happened. I was like, who the fuck are these people? Because it just threw us into it. And I was like, I don't know who you fucking are. Where's Meredith?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, it's a no from me. I apologize.
Yeah. Although I'd be interested to see like Addison's side of things when Mark dies and things like that.
Was it still on?
I don't know. I don't know how long it lasted for.
Yeah.
But there was also the episode where he took her to Addison for Sloan, for his daughter's baby.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
true.
I would, for that alone, like if Mark's going to be in a few episodes, if I get really desperate at missing Mark Sloan, then one day maybe we'll see.
Mm.
I don't know. I the thing is, like, I had the exact same thing with Angel, the spinoff of Buffy. Like, my favorite characters aren't there. And it's weird because I really, really adore Cordelia. Like, she's the love of my life. I would risk everything for her. But I just can't get into that show the same way I got into Buffy. And I don't know why.
Yeah. I might go back to it. I'm still not ready, but I might, just because when it's gonna be the right vibes. I'm still, you know, I stopped before Angel's about to lose his soul because I'm just not ready to put myself through the pain.
Oh, but you get the iconic scene where he's like, I can't remember what he says, but she's like, me, and holds a sword between her fingers.
I know, but then the music that was happening while he was stabbed and going to hell or whatnot is on my like sad playlists for over a decade now. So like I have it very, I hear the song and I'm in physical pain. So I'm really not ready.
Yeah.
I think my pause is lasting for over a year now.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
It is what it is. I am who I am.
That's what rewatches are for, though. I've done the same thing with Vampire Diaries. Like, I'm only on season 3 and I started rewatching it like 2 years ago.
I can't really appreciate how far I got with the Vampire Diaries when I started rewatching it.
Yeah.
I stopped for good reasons, I feel like, but I got far.
Yeah, I am sad though, because like my favorite thing about when you rewatch is when you send me content of my favorites and you never got to like the iconic Bonnie and Enzo storylines.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll just have to get there on my own.
It's true. What are other things you're watching?
Me?
No, the person behind you.
I didn't know if you were still thinking of things that you're watching.
No.
What am I watching? Oh shit, man.
I'm gonna answer for you. She's watching The Walking Dead. She watched a rom-com. And that's it.
No, it's not it. But I'm going through another white hyperfixation on a white man, guys. And it's fucking alarming. And look, I get red talking about it.
The shame.
Well, first of all, let's talk about The Walking Dead just to cool down a minute. I think season 7, I started season 7. Fucking most traumatic scene I've ever watched in my entire life. For the whole time, I've been like, oh, I can't wait for Jeffrey Dean Morgan to show up. Oh, I'm going to love him being a villain. He made me sick. He did unforgivable things. He made me absolutely, honestly, like I've never felt physically sick while watching something. But spoiler alert, Glenn's death was traumatizing, and I still can't go back to the show to watch it the same because I'm still in mourning and just completely like scarred. It really did something awful to me. It really did. And I don't know how, like, I'm excited to see what they do with Negan. But, like, how is he and Maggie going to work together in the spin-off, man?
Well, I saw a video where they really don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good then. But people are, like, shipping them, and that's confusing to me because fucking hell, it was just brutal. Like, there were brains on the floor. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. but it was good, but it wasn't good at all. He did do me a favor and he killed Abraham, so I have to be thankful for that at least, because he was treating my girly Rosita like shit, so he needed to go. But yeah. Glenn, on the other hand, did not deserve that, and I'm shooketh to the core.
Understandable.
Yeah, so I was watching that, and I did watch an episode of This Is Us. It's one of those things that I go to when I really need the comfort. And it's just really, it's so good. Like this week, the one I just watched, Kevin was in therapy because after like an addiction. But like everybody thinks he's the one who's always okay because like he was the quarterback and he was popular growing up and he just gave a lot of attitude. But then you see that like he was always left on the sidelines because he didn't have problems like the other two, because Randall's adopted and Kate had problems with her weight. And it was just so good to see like that family therapy session where things that people thought were true were not true to that person, and like how different perspectives can be growing up. Like it was really I wish my family would watch this show because I feel like then they'd understand things more. I wish all families would watch the show. It's really good. And I think you would like it. I'm not saying you should watch it, but I do think you should.
Yeah. Thing is, like, when it was coming out, I saw all the spoilers. So I'm still in the part where I'm trying to forget it.
Yeah, get that. I love Milo Ventimiglia Glog, Venti Grande. He's...
Oh, that guy,
yeah, he's so good. He's such a good actor, man. But also like he's portrayed as like the perfect family guy and the perfect dad, and that like that's coming to light now that he wasn't always perfect. And it's just honestly like it's such a good, like, thoughtful show. Like it's rare you see that much thought being put into a family relationship like that, and it's just so good. There's so much to love about it. Let's get to like the important thing. I watched Happiness for Beginners on Netflix. Objectively, it wasn't the best film in existence, but rom-coms on Netflix never are, but like subjectively it was the best film in existence. Because Luke Grimes walked around with his glasses on a string around his neck, and I fell in love with him. And it was a really uplifting romance where, like, it was brother's best friend and they were on this hiking trip together and they were pretending they didn't know each other. And yeah, it was just really good. It was so good. Anyway, so then my obsession with Luke Grimes began. And then I started watching Yellowstone last night. And he plays cowboy but also a male wife. Very
best combination.
And he killed his wife's brother and he can't tell her, and this is the one.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Not on purpose. Like, he didn't murder, well, he did a little bit, but only because his wife's brother killed his brother first.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
It's all cowboys going crazy and they have a lot of guns. Like, yeah, there's like a battle between like the Native Americans' land and the white people's land, and also a battle between people who want to build a city on the land. And look, I'm not watching it for any of that shit. I'm watching it for him and his male wife tendencies. And it's going to be great because I've already seen some Hurt Comfort scenes. Speaking of movies we've been watching, we watched Red, White, and Royal Blue. We both read the book by Kacey McQuiston.
Yeah.
We both loved the book.
Yeah. The pictures were a little awkward.
They focused on the fucking socks.
And I didn't mind that.
No, the sock. I don't need to know what people's socks look like. I have an ick about socks. And the whole promo image was like the American flag on a sock and the UK Union Jack on a sock. And the socks meeting together. And the idea of sock-clad ankles brushing against each other.
It's hiding the feet. That's my issue. As long as the feet are hidden, I'm fine.
No.
And then the trailer came out and I was like, oh god, it looks pretty good. And it was fantastic.
I, on the other hand, was like, oh god, yeah, it looks pretty bad.
It was fun because I sent you two trailers. One was this, and the other was the popular thing with Lucy Hale and Gustin Grant. And I was like, god, that looks horrible. I don't want to see that. You don't want to, I don't want the beanie. What did I say? Yeah, I don't hear you.
God.
I don't hear you. The microphone is not picking it.
Said Gustin
Grant. It's not that his name.
Gustin.
Okay, well, that guy.
Oh my god. Oh. Okay.
Okay. Right, so that guy. And right, and I didn't, and it looked horrible and I didn't want to see it. And her reaction was like, oh my god, I'm so excited. And then the reaction on the trailer for Red White was, oh my god, that looks horrible. And I was like, I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, but I was wrong. The film was great. It is good. My biggest issue was that the guy who plays Henry, I'm going to guess his name is like Nicholas Calzoni or something.
Something, yeah. They're very British name, exactly.
Yeah. First of all, no idea he was British. Because the last thing we watched him in, the only thing we watched him in, was fucking Purple Hearts. Where he played a Republican.
He's also in some Disney movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, where he's also British.
I found out afterwards he was in Handsome Devil, which is another Achillean film. So I can't work this man out. Like, is he an ally? Is he a fucking Republican? I know that acting is not the same as being. Like, obviously was hard up on the cash and decided to put a military outfit on. But, like, I can't find a world wherein you want to represent queer characters and also literally the worst possible people in the world. I can't. Yeah. I can't. Like, something in my brain doesn't add up. Oh, and also, aside from that problem, he also really looks like Tyler Henry, the Hollywood medium, with blonde hair, and it really freaked me out. Just as a side note, like, so that was another con on my list.
Oh, yeah. That problem that we all have.
It just really, like, it was just making me, it was like the uncanny, it was making me uncomfortable. He looked like Tyler Henry. Other than that, it was fine. It was great. It was good. I felt gaslit because I was certain that in the books, Nora and June were a thing. And in the film, there was no sapphic whatsoever. And June wasn't there.
Yeah.
So then I took to Twitter and I was like, did I imagine this? I thought I'd hallucinated a sapphic relationship in this book. And then some people was like, no, this never happened. And then some was like, yes, this happened. And it just made me even more confused. So I don't know whether to complain that there was no sapphic or not, because I don't know.
And I can't tell you because I don't even remember June.
No. Yeah. Well,
you can do it.
She was, what's his face? Alex's sister. June was Alex's sister, and then Nora was his best friend. And then apparently Nora and Pez did have a thing in the books, which they do in the film. Well, a 5-second thing was all that was mentioned there. But I just thought, I was so confused. I felt like I'd hallucinated something that wasn't real. So if anyone knows, please do tell me, because I don't know, man. What do we have to say? What do we have to say for ourselves?
I've got nothing. The thing is, I have no notes. I enjoyed everything about it.
And yeah,
it's strange to me, because I'm not that big of a fan of rom-coms.
No. I really loved that, like, because the book is pretty raunchy, there's quite a few sex scenes in it. They did such a good job of like making it like they closed up on the holding hands, like while they were doing it, and it was like the female gaze, but make it gay. It was like Pride and Prejudice, but make it gay. It was so, it was just like the hands and the like the softness of it, and like the their faces and like touching and stuff. It was just, it was really nice.
They, it looked very intimate more than like hot and steamy. And that was just more beautiful to me.
Because of obviously, like, there's a huge, well, there's still a problem with like the fetishization of like male relationships, but this was very clear. It wasn't for straight women to get off to. It was for people to just love.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was just to portray a relationship as it should be. It wasn't about the fact that it was gay or that it was two men. It was just really nice. Yeah. It really was. And I'm surprised because Amazon are a bit hit and miss with rom-coms. Like, and romance in general, like they did, they do the After movies, and they did Beautiful Disaster, Dylan Sprouse, which I definitely did not enjoy.
No,
I didn't. I did a little bit, and they did My Perfect Addiction, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. So they like, they have been centering on like dark romance recently a lot. So I was a bit wary of those being the ones to do it, but it was, I don't think they could have done it any better with like, it was true to the book. It was the mm-hmm. same like funny bantery vibes as the book. And it was just, yeah, it was really good. I have no complaints except for the suffix.
Yeah,
Uma Thurman was there.
What I was about to say, like, what a motherfucking queen. I'm not gonna lie to you, that her accent was really doing it for me for some reason. I'm not really one to enjoy Texas accent.
Yeah,
but she really did it for me.
Yeah, it was good. All and like 99% of the people in power were women, and most of them were also women in color. Yeah. Like the Prime Minister of England was a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, it was just, it was, and there was the bodyguard who was a woman of color as well, Alex's bodyguard.
She was fucking amazing.
Iconic.
She always sent me.
Yeah, it was so good. Funny. And then we had like Zara.
Honestly, wait, what's her name? Zara something. I need to talk about her for a minute. Sarah, oh, I don't know how to pronounce her name. Shahi. I'm not going to try because I... Huh?
Shahi.
Oh, okay. She was the main character of Sex Life, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, in the second season, I was like... there was a lot of emotional scenes, and but it's basically a smut of a show. But she is actually, she made me feel like when she was crying, it was actually heartbreaking. And so she was such a fucking brilliant actress. She just really didn't have the opportunity to do anything. And then in Black Adam, I was like, I'm just happy to watch her do her thing. I don't even know, need fucking Dwayne Johnson there. And here she was, her comedic timing, brilliant. Yeah. Fucking brilliant. I want her to dominate me. And even so, because she's very teeny tiny. So I'm just her.
Yeah.
That's all.
Honestly, the cast was perfect. Like there was not like one bad actor there.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
So I can talk about their spice rack.
Talk about the spice rack, yeah.
And the like house. Behind when Alex was talking to his dad, behind his dad was the most beautiful spice rack I've ever seen. And when I saw it the first time, I was like, I don't even know what they're talking about. I was just focused on that. But I was like, I'm not gonna bring it up, it's just weird. But at the end, in the credits, when there were pictures, there was the dad again with the spice rack, and I just had to be like, oh my god, I fucking want that. It was the most beautiful thing.
Yeah. And speaking of the dad, I liked this even more because in the books, Alex's parents were divorced, but in the film, they're still together. And so he's just a male wife. Like he's, and there's something really beautiful about seeing a man and a man of color like just supporting his liberal wife as they like strive for queer rights in America. Like, there was no homophobia, there was no transphobia, not on that side anyways.
Yeah.
Which is like slightly unrealistic of America, because there was homophobia in the UK.
The fact that they won Texas at the end is the most unrealistic thing I've ever seen. And it really, it's just.
Yeah. Second only to the fact that all the queer people brought their flags and shit to the Buckingham Palace. Because let me tell you, after the way this country has treated queer people, there is no fucking way we would stand outside Buckingham Palace waving our flags for some random white man. Yeah. Like, I appreciate it's fiction, but as a UK person, there is something a little icky about about just in general, like watching a queer, no, not a queer man, watching a just a royal, because obviously there's been a lot of uproar with that recently, anyways, and I can't say they're my favorite people in the world. It was pretty funny though, because you said that, because in the books it's the queen.
Yeah, and they tried to, when they were making the movie, they tried to sort of like make a distance between the actual royal family and the movie. So they changed the queen to a king, which was Stephen Fry. But meanwhile, the queen was like, bye bye, and died. And now you guys have a king. So. Yeah. it was very funny to me.
And there was a Prince Philip there as well. So really in the end it still felt pretty. And also the fact that they made such, well, they didn't make an effort, but like he does bear resemblance to young Prince William, because he's like blonde and wears similar clothes. Like they didn't do a great job on that front, I'd say. I don't know what's happened to me recently. I'm watching royal romances. I'm watching billionaire romances. It's fucked up, man.
Yeah. It's the best, though.
Yeah.
Nothing hits just right as a royal romance to me, though. I'm not going to lie to you.
My favorite are the ones with bodyguards in them. Those ones I'll push past my anti-monarchist agenda for.
So, Eleanor and Jasper. Yes.
Oh, I forgot about those babies.
Blast from the past, Beba.
Yeah, man. Oh, the royals really did hit different. It did. Also, just the fact that they didn't whitewash Alex and his family, because, like, I know it's like the bare minimum, but I was kind of expecting that they would hire some white passing dude for this role, because of, even on the cover, like, he doesn't. You could pass him off as white, I think. Let me check.
Meanwhile, a few years back, especially when like the Black Lives Movement was really up in US.
Yeah.
Some girl here posted sort of her cosplay of both Alex and Henry, and as Alex, she did a brown face and the publisher was like, oh my god, it's beautiful, amazing, yay. After they were like, look, we have this one black writer here, you know, we're good people. And it was something, and a lot of people told her like, look, this is really inappropriate. And she was like, well, it's you know, I'm just doing a cosplay, it's meant to sort of bring, what was she said, something like bring the spotlight to the racism in the book. And I was like, you're bringing what?
White people, yeah. Man,
yeah, honestly ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, on the book, like, yeah, I would say you could probably pass him off as white, like he's a bit tanned.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, it was just nice to see that. And there was something else. In that vein, I was sad because, like, I think it was the Japanese covers, but also a cover for a special edition of One Last Stop. They made August skinny on the cover, and they whitewashed Jane. Oh. Yeah. yeah, just pointing that out. It, like, so I guess, like, I didn't have the highest hopes because of all that shit.
Yeah.
So it was good to see that. How do we feel about Casey McQuiston in general?
I don't know. Look, the thing, One Last Stop didn't hit for me.
Already. No.
So they had, like, another sapphic book, which was young adult. I was like, I don't have to read that. And I don't feel the necessity to pick their book again.
No.
Like, I enjoyed Red White. I don't necessarily need to pick it up again. And I'm fine to move on from them. Good.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I guess when you read them for the first time, the writing feels really beautiful and lovely. And it is.
I enjoyed it. It was really funny. It was the first, like, probably first queer book by actual queer writer. And it was the first, like, Achillean book that wasn't written by straight women that I've ever read. So it was a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, there are much better. And that's that. Yeah.
I think so. Like, there's been two separate instances of, like, them being called out for the content in their books. Like, in Red, White and Royal Blue, there was a joke about, like, Israel and Palestine, which obviously the war's still going on, so it was completely tone deaf on that part. And if you're going to choose to write about politics and world leaders, then you need to be, like, sensitive about stuff like that. And then, of course, in One Last Stop, Jane is from the past, and August, she's Chinese, and August has a moment where she's like, the world isn't like that anymore. And it released shortly after there was a huge, like, uproar about anti-Asian hate crime, like Asian girls were killed or something like that. So, and I think they ended up taking both of those things out, but I guess, like, for me, I think it could have been really easy to not do that, to not have that in your books, like, as a white person. So that kind of, for me, has affected the way I'll read their work going on. And like you said, like, One Last Stop kind of fell short in comparison to Red, White and Royal Blue. And no matter, like, how much work they put into it, you're always kind of like, why are they focusing, like, why is more there more in the Achillean book than the sapphic book? Like,
if that was exactly it, I was expecting something similar to Red White, but
yeah,
One Last Step was focused more on the found family than the sapphic relationship, and I went into it for the sapphic relationship, even though the found family was beautiful and that was great. It was also, but, like, there was a drag queen character, if I remember correctly.
Yes, yeah, there was. Yeah,
it was good. It was beautiful. It was great, but it's not what I wanted at that moment. And yeah, again, I just, look, honestly, Red White did a huge deal just here in Czech because it was the first queer book that got big, and because of it, a lot of other queer books are being translated right now. So it does deserve its praise. It did broke the queer market a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
in a big way, not a little bit. But thanks to that, there are, to me, more beautiful books or more, like, meaningful books that I would prefer to read these days.
Exactly that. Like, it deserved the praise it got at the time, and it still does. But the fact that these books are still the first on every queer list, I think it's time. They've opened the door. Now it's time to, like, go through it and pick up more books and spotlight those ones. Like, they've had their moment. They should still always have that praise for that. But, like, again, like, let's diversify a bit more and choose even more authors to support. Like, I'm so tired of seeing One Last Stop on the top of every sapphic list. We've already read
sapphic books you might not know about. One Last Stop.
Like, bestsellers, they deserve to be bestsellers, but, like, it's our job as readers to then make sure that there's not only one author at the top of every list, that we have more choices, and there are so many, especially in the indie world, that we can explore. And you know, like disabled authors and people of color, like it doesn't start and end with Casey McQuiston. We do have, well, we're introducing a new segment this week where we answer questions from listeners. Because it was someone's idea. It was Gwen Hiver's idea, who, oh, by the way, Jason and the Astronauts Under the Ice Skies is out now, and you should all read it. We got an arc, and we're excited to start that. It's a Greek myth retelling, and it's sapphic, and it has sword and sorcery as well. So if you like our podcast, you'll like this.
Yes.
And they had the lovely, she had the lovely idea to do listener questions as a segment. So that's what we're going to do.
If you had to live in one of your books, which one and why?
Ooh. Well, I think it would have to be Honeymoon for one, because it's all festive and snowy and cozy. And there's a Juniper the dog there.
I'm Hazel's girl. I want to be in the coffee shop all day.
Yeah, the bakery. Yeah, I think it would have to be Honeymoon for one. Yeah. How about you?
It's the thing is, I'm currently, well, when I'm writing here and there, which I'm not, I'm writing my cottagecore suffix. She's a witch.
Oh yeah.
And she lives in the woods. And it's very yeah, I like that, but I also don't like nature. So it's weird. It's weird for me. It's very cozy. I would like to go there for a weekend. And then I like modern plumbing. So
yeah, that's understandable.
That's my issue. Yeah. You know. Like technically I would like to be fictional in that, but I would not be able to be me in that, if that makes sense. In anything really that I've ever written, because then it's fantasy. Even with the pirates, like you don't want me on a ship. I don't want to be on a ship. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the mafia world.
Maybe you should just stay in Prague.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
As a writer, what's the most annoying question you get asked, or the most annoying thing people say?
I cannot answer that question. I have most annoying thing that people said.
Go on.
That you have a lot of bad moms.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. I'll never get over that, yeah.
Yeah.
But apart from that, either what's your book about, because I'm terrible at telling people and what are you writing about, especially when it's someone who I'm not particularly close with, because like I feel like it's such a huge part of me, like writing queer identities and romance
and bad moms.
Yeah. And also, are you making a living yet? Because the answer is no. I probably never will. Yeah, I guess that.
Yeah. What would your MC choose as their Halloween costume?
That depends. I have too many MCs.
Then choose some.
I'll do Jess and Mac from Summer at the Scottish Castle, I guess. Mac loves a face paint. He was a tiger in Summer at the Scottish Castle. So I'd imagine, like, he'd probably let Aaron paint his face, his foster child. And Jess would probably do something cute, like maybe Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. Yeah. That's how about you?
I don't know. Well, the real world that I've written in a long time is the mafia one, which is Neve and Willow. I don't think Neve would dress into Halloween costume. It probably would be something like very not
cheeky. She came as a woman who doesn't like Halloween.
Yeah,
it's just normal clothes.
Most likely, yeah. I will be something sweet and adorable. But I don't know what. I was thinking a doctor, because she's a doctor, but she's not that boring. So
yeah. I don't know why my first thought was like one of those flower hats where like
I was thinking something with sunflower or something. Exactly. Yeah. That.
Maybe a scarecrow.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's true.
Actually, in The Highland Baby, which may never be published, but I wrote it and it's done, they dress up And you know what? I can't actually remember what they dress up as. So that was a pointless thing to say. Jem's like the type of girly who would just put on like a fangs or something. Like she wouldn't dress up properly.
Mm.
I absolutely cannot remember what Paisley dresses up as. I think it has something to do with the baby. Because she has a baby bump by that point.
Unrelated, but my favorite Halloween costume I've ever seen on TV is Pam in The Office. When she was pregnant, she wore a kangaroo costume. So she had like the stomach, the big stomach where the pocket was. And it's my favorite costume.
Aww, it's my favorite that's Halloween. So cute.
It was so fucking adorable.
There's one in, I think it's the Broken Hearts Gallery with Dacre Montgomery. One of the women are pregnant in that, and she has like a toy baby coming out of a bump, like
a bloody
toy baby, like with different limbs everywhere. And that was good.
Beautiful.
Yeah. What book, film, or other would be made better by being sapphic? I like this one. The answer is all of them, obviously.
Yeah, that's my answer.
All of them. But what should be sapphic? Let me think.
I'm going to go with The Witcher, just because I'm watching it right now.
I like that one. Ooh. Well, since I'm watching Yellowstone, I would really like some sapphic cowgirls. That would be good. But I don't think that's my final answer.
Cowgirls.
I'm doing that autistic
exposition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'm doing that autistic thing where I have to think for ages to come up with the best possible answer. Like, I read recently that when people ask for your favorite film or your favorite song or something, they're not asking, like, your favorite film of all time, and you don't need to spend 5 hours deliberating. They just want to know what you enjoy. And I was like,
they do? I didn't know that.
I know. I feel like it determines who I am as a person when I give an answer, but apparently not. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Daisy Jones and the Six. Should have been sapphic.
Yeah, it's true.
We didn't need Sam Coughlin there. We did, that's a lie. A little bit.
He wasn't doing it for me in this one. It was just strange.
Yeah, he didn't fit that role very well. Like he isn't the rockiest person alive.
No.
But there was something so sapphic about like all the women. Karen should have been sapphic 100%. That's my answer. I'm proud of that answer.
Beautiful. What genres of films, TV series are in biggest lack of sapphic MCs in your opinion? All of them,
yeah.
But mostly fantasy. No, really fantasy. All of them, because they're fucking cancelled. So I'm gonna say in general, season two of anything.
Yeah. You're so right. Literally. And also Marvel and like superhero movies.
Yeah, in the previous question I wanted to answer Captain Marvel, but in my opinion that was sapphic anyway.
Sapphic, yeah.
So
but wouldn't it be great to not like have to headcanon things as sapphic? If things
I'll
just...
never not be upset about Thor being like marketed as extremely queer when there was just one moment of Valkyrie talking about her ex-girlfriend and that was it.
Oh,
that was the entire game moment.
Oh no. Disney loved to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Fantasy especially, because like we're living in a world of like dragons, so you can make queer characters happen.
But that's not realistic. That's not how it was, you know, queer people didn't exist.
No, it's not how it works, clearly.
No, that's not it.
Yeah.
We're running out of time, so let's do one last question.
Okay.
What is Enzo and Adi's favorite toy, and why is it none of the toys bought especially for dogs? That will make me laugh. Because
it's a good one.
It's yeah. I'm going to say, to be fair, Adi loves all the, like, squeaky toys.
Oh, yeah.
And the... Too. And the toys that are like threads that she can torn apart. However, if she had a choice between that and a tissue, she would choose tissue every time.
Yeah. Enzo does the same. He loves his squeaks and he loves his rope toy. But get him some bubble wrap and pop a bubble. You'll never see a dog like it. Like, he's the happiest boy.
Yeah. And boxes. Adi loves biting boxes apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Enzo likes to help me unwrap things sometimes as well.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Help.
Yeah, that was a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to everyone. Well, to the two people who sent us some questions, and hopefully we already have more for next episode.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's fun. Yeah, I like this new thing.
I know.
And before we go really quickly, we didn't talk about games. And I do have to mention a game.
You do?
Stray Gods, the role-play musical came out. I was so excited to this game. Like, their marketing strategy on TikTok, give that girlie a rise because she's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I was really excited for it. So it's a musical game. And you play as Grace, who becomes a god and now has to solve a murder mystery of sorts in a week. And you make all the choices, including choosing what to sing, which is brilliant. And then there are different versions of the song. And there are different versions of the outcome of the game. And you can romance one of the gods or not at all. Like, there are three potential or four potential love interests. Or you can choose none. And it's really great. Hermes is a non-binary character. Another character was voiced by a trans woman. It's very beautiful. Persephone is fucking hot. She's very clearly queer. But because I'm a basic bitch, and if Apollo is gonna walk, they're all moody and depressed with his hands in his pockets, leaning on every fucking wall with his abs out. I'm gonna go flirt with him and giggle like a schoolgirl.
Yeah, understandable. Are the songs original songs or like songs we already know?
Okay. Original ones. It's really based on the story. They sort of have the conversation of this in it, and that's when you choose how to sing and what to sing and who to choose, and what side to lean on, and yeah, it's really.
I can't imagine how much time it must take to develop a game with so many different outcomes.
Yeah.
And so many different choices. Like, that must take so long compared to, like, a game that follows the same narrative.
Especially if the game already takes around, like, 6 to 10 hours to play just on its own.
Yeah.
Without going through the different storyline. Well, it's one story. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think I'll have to cave and get it at some point.
I'm already ready to replay it with different choices, but I also know my issue is because I do want to romance different character, but then I'll be like, hey, but we're already together. Why are you not with me? You know, I kind of want all of them, to, you know.
It poses a problem.
Yeah.
That's why there is polyamory.
Exactly. That should be a choice there also. That
it should. Do we have any updates? We have a new form actually. If you want to do a guest article or an interview on our blog, we now have a form open for that. We could do with some more guest articles. Like, obviously, choosing interview questions takes quite a while from us, and so we love doing them. We love finding out more about authors, but if you have something that you want to rant about or talk about on our blog, that would be lovely. Yeah. And as always, we have another form for new releases. So if you have any more coming out towards the end of the year, tell us about them and we'll add them to our monthly article. We have a Discord, like we mentioned, and we have a tip jar. So if you enjoyed this episode, perhaps you could think about tipping us, because we're thinking about making some merch and stuff.
And I also don't want to work full time, man.
Somebody needs to sponsor us. We're struggling.
Don't.
I'm working 3 freelance jobs right now, and it's a lot. It's a lot. And it's all ghostwriting heterosexual shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really passionate about it.
I have 2 works. I have to go to the office. You don't want that for me.
No, she's just a sleepy girl who should be home.
I don't want to be getting up at 7 a.m. That's not for me.
And think of Addy the dog. She's alone.
Think of that cutie pie here all alone. What happens is that when I leave, she scratches my wall that is now scratched, and I will have to fix that if I'll move.
Yeah.
Look how I'm suffering.
Not to like beg or anything.
No.
We like the bridesmaids scene when she's like, help me, I'm poor.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, that's true.
So. Yeah. Oh, actually, I need a new desk chair. As you can see by my constant fidgeting, well, if you watch the YouTube video, I need a comfortable chair. So, again.
Yeah. And yeah. I need a lot of Nintendo games. I want PlayStation. There's so many books that I want.
And if we're asking for things, I'd like to move out and get my own house.
I would also like to get my own house. I don't want to live in a rent.
And we'd like to meet each other. Yeah.
So anyway, any dollar counts to our goal of independence and not having to work.
Yeah. We appreciate it.
But we don't want to, like, pressure into it.
No pressure. No, we're not begging. We're not desperate or anything. No,
we would hate to guilt you into it or something.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's us.
Oh, gosh. We just lost all of our listeners. Yeah. All three of our listeners have just tuned out.
Goodbye.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And remember,
support women's rights,
but most importantly, support women's wrongs. Unless it's up to you these days.
We have nothing. We got nothing for you this time.
No.
Unless they whitewash and skinny wash a character on a book cover.
Yeah. That's not cool. Boo.
No. Boo. Oh, they cancel a second season of a queer show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly that. And we shall see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile. Thank you for listening to Swords and Sapphic. You can enjoy a new episode every Wednesday.
While waiting, you can visit our website, swordsandsapphics.com, and find lots of articles, interviews, and guest pieces.
Feel free to contact us with any requests, questions, or inquiries through a form on our website or directly to our email, swordsandsapphicspodcast@gmail.com.